From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, to mask or not to mask, in the time of a COVID pandemic, Texans versus Texans about how to protect the children from a deadly virus.
There's no such thing as an individual choice in an epidemic disease. That's the fundamental problem. You're not alone in this.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The deadly virus that is COVID-19 is once again surging in Texas. The Delta variant is twice as contagious, and it's tougher on children, sending more of them to pediatric care units across the state. There is a safe, effective, and freely available vaccine, but children under 12 are not eligible for the shots. So the best way to keep young ones safe is with wearing masks and social distancing. Mask wearing is somehow controversial, but going back to school for on-campus learning is not. Everyone agrees that children need to be in the classrooms for their education and social interaction. However, there are 4 school districts in Texas right now that have been shut down for on-campus learning because of the spread of COVID. All of these are rural ISDs, where fewer than a third of residents are fully vaccinated, and there are staffing shortages at nearby hospitals. There's also a lot of misinformation about the benefits of masks, but make no mistake, masking up works to provide some protection against COVID and also RSV, a childhood respiratory infection that's also raging right now. But masks are uncomfortable. They make it difficult to talk, breathing isn't as effortless, and masks are just a hassle. And there are many of us who are naturally oppositionally defiant. We don't like being told what to do. It rubs us the wrong way to be told that you gotta wear a mask. But we are in a pandemic, and a pandemic is a time of tragedy. And it's a time when there are no easy choices. We can't close our eyes and wish the COVID away. COVID doesn't care about your political party, about your conspiracy theories, or about your latest Facebook post. COVID wants to infect you so you can spread COVID to others. So mask up. Even Governor Greg Abbott agrees. Abbott, who has tested positive for COVID, has consistently said masks work and people should wear them, but he doesn't support mask mandates. Instead, he wants Texans to decide for themselves to wear a mask. But now that COVID hospitalizations are increasing faster than at any other time, local officials and school leaders are rebelling against Abbott's ban on mask mandates. And the rebellion against Abbott's use of emergency powers to ban mask mandates is working so far. On Thursday, the Texas Supreme Court dismissed Attorney General Ken Paxton's and Abbott's request that it disallow mask mandates in Texas school districts. Also, last week, Fort Worth ISD tried to join a number of Texas school districts in defying Abbott's executive order, but in a court hearing last Friday, a district court judge granted a temporary restraining order to district parents against the mask mandate. Todd Daniel is one of the parents who filed that suit. I spoke to him to learn more about why he thinks school mask mandates should be struck down.
First and foremost, I would say that since the governor had stated and made a law, and the legislature had given him that power, that it was against the law. And the executive order mentioned specifically schools and other government buildings. And so, you know, first and foremost, we don't want our school board doing something that's illegal or against the law. That's not a good example for our kids. That's first and foremost, I would say, is we have to follow the law.
So how do you feel, though, about the wearing of mask, requirements of mask?
Well, as far as requirements of mask, I'm not down with requiring masks when it is against the law. As far as wearing masks on a voluntary basis to protect oneself or others if they feel that they are protecting others, that's fine. I want everybody to feel safe and sound, with themselves and with their kids and that sort of thing.
So just for people, I mean, you do believe that there is a thing called COVID-19 and that it is an actual virus and this is a public health concern. Those are things that you actually believe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I do believe that there is a thing called COVID-19. I also believe there's a lot of information flying around that we're trying to get our heads around. And I know that the school district prior to flip-flopping and reversing was saying that there wouldn't be masks, and then suddenly they changed their guidance. I definitely believe there is something called COVID, and I believe it's dangerous to some people. It's less dangerous to other people, and we have a year's worth of data that we're now able to actually look at that really shows that kids are the ones that are not really being affected that much by COVID. They seem to kick it off and build their own natural immunity. But, you know, a mask, like one of my co-plaintiffs, her daughter was diagnosed with epilepsy a year ago. It's not going to be a good idea for her daughter necessarily to be breathing her own exhaust for a full day.
Right now, pediatric wards around Texas are filling up, and that the latest variants of COVID are much tougher on children than the alpha variant.
Yeah, we hear that, but I look today at the state website on that, and what we're not really seeing is facts that back up anything that say that that kids are any more vulnerable with a Delta variant. We don't have any cumulative data on genomic sequencing tests on all these people that are supposedly now getting the Delta variant. There's people saying it's more contagious and all these other things because it's mutated, but we don't have any track record or statistical data that shows that.
We are hearing pediatric wards are filling up, but in my opinion, this may be a bit of an ICU bed accounting gimmick. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me that hospitals are firing healthcare professionals for refusing to get the vaccine. If we're under, emergency and everything is going through the roof on all these things and we don't have any beds. But if I look at the date today, we have beds and they can, you know, of course, ICU beds and regular hospital beds are different things, so they can reformat and build out their triage and add ICU beds as needed because we have the beds.
Looking at this from a community point of view, do you see that it's a good idea for us to do everything that we can to make the community as safe as possible, particularly for children who cannot get vaccinated, and that's why we have these mask mandates?
Well, first of all, I want to know who is we? Who is we? And you know, these are people that said COVID would explode when lockdowns were ended, and it didn't happen. You know, so who is we? Is there some kind of group that we all belong to that we can't make decisions for our own children going to school? Or that we have to break the law in order to do this. I mean, hospitals get paid to fill rooms. There's a perverse incentive there. It should not be surprised when COVID patients have paid so much for them.
Right. So, but the idea that we are a community, we have a communal responsibility, we have an ethical connection to each other.
Where does the communal responsibility come from? Well, I mean, I think... I'm one of those people that believes, you know, my rights end where yours began and vice versa. I don't think that our community is totally polarized now. And part of it is because of crazy policies. Should we mask? Should we not mask? Should we vaccinate? Should we not? So our community is not in lockstep with everything. We're all over the place.
So can you explain for me what is the communal health downside for wearing a mask?
To the best of our knowledge, and we're doing a lot of research on it too, we haven't found any double blind placebo controlled study that masks work. There's not any right now. And if you look at mask manufacturers, even the best ones, the N95s and so forth, they've got a disclaimer on their box that says this is not going to, I don't know the exact words, it's not blocking virus. And it's not intended to block virus. So that in and of itself says that masks may help. And there are statistics that say it has blocked a small amount
But is it worth it? I mean, is that going to actually to be the cure-all for us? And if not, there's a combination of things we need to try. Children need to see faces of their teachers in order to learn, you know, to experience each other and be welcomed. We've had students have fainted from lack of oxygen. So masks are, they may offer benefit, but they may not also.
I haven't read about children fainting because of lack of oxygen. Do we have any numbers, or where can I find more data about that?
A nurse station in Decatur ISD, they were told that the kids were told to go to the nurse station rather than just pull their face mask down. Decatur ISD, I think you can look at that.
And so what happened? I'm not following you.
Apparently, okay. So some superintendent was telling kids to at the Decatur ISD to go to the nurses station if they couldn't breathe with the masks. And I think it was a seventh grade female student. And you know, the other thing is that's interesting. You know, the Fort Worth ISD and I imagine other ISDs, they're not talking about N95 masks necessarily. There usually are exemptions for these kinds of things and health exemptions, but their mandate didn't contain anything like that. You know, I went to a board meeting the other night. A woman who has a deaf child, she's really struggling with it because her child reads lips. You know, there needs to be as a community, we need to understand that not everybody is alike or going to think alike, and that we all have different unique circumstance and unique health conditions and unique ways of thinking and different reasons for being, pardon me, pro mask or against masks, you know, and we should respect all of those. I mean, I think that's how we bring our community together, is by respecting everybody's point of view and not just trying to virtue signal to each other or say that, you know, one side is more virtuous than the other on this.
What does that mean, virtue signal?
No, I think there's a lot of people that want to appear that they are they have some moral high ground and that they're more concerned with health than other people. But, and I think
so. They want to look like they care about health.
Yeah, they want to fit in, or they want other people to view them as being virtuous.
And that's why they wear a mask.
I don't know why each individual does, but there are some out there that I think are using this this polarization for that.
And that's a concern.
No, it's not a concern.
But you brought it up.
It's part of the polarized world we live in.
So right now we do see that Texas has this massive surge of COVID cases. And
you chose the word massive. I'm not seeing that. And I look every day.
ICUs are overflowing. State of Texas Health and Human Services has requested morgue trailers to come to Texas.
There's a lot of that conjecture, but you know, all this stuff is, you know, cases are including probable cases, and
so you don't see it. You don't see
the PCR test. Is generally the FDA as of September is not going to give them the emergency use authorization for PCR tests because they don't meet the standard for reliability. So what do you do with that? That means something we've been using to measure cases for over a year has been faulty. You know, what are we doing? So what are we doing?
Todd Daniel is a parent at Fort Worth ISD. He is joined with three other parents in suing Fort Worth ISD to get a temporary restraining order to prevent the school district from requiring the wearing of COVID masks. There are a lot of lawsuits right now about masks in Texas. It's hard to keep up, but here's one more. Disability Rights Texas has filed a federal lawsuit against Governor Greg Abbott for his executive order prohibiting schools, cities, and counties from mandating masks in schools. In a complaint filed on behalf of 14 students, Disability Rights Texas argues that the ban violates protections for people with disabilities under the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act. The nonprofit says that students are at particular risk of COVID-19 because they're too young to get vaccinated. Julia Longoria is a parent of one of the children in the lawsuit.
My daughter is 8 years old, and she's a third grader, and she lives with several disabilities. She has asthma. She also has attention deficit hyperactive disorder, and she has a growth hormone deficiency as well. She also has generalized anxiety disorder. She receives special education services through her school for the ADHD. When the pandemic began, all schools went remote initially. And of course, as you know, that end of the school year was kind of just a wash for education. And we recognized that schools were just doing their best and kind of just settled in. We were happy to keep her home because of her asthma. That summer, we saw the numbers spike. We were terrified of what that meant for her. And as we saw those numbers go up, we decided as the year, the beginning of the school year approached her second grade year, that we were not comfortable with the risk of sending her in person, and opted for remote learning for her as a second grader.
Do you mind telling me your daughter's name?
Sure. Her name is Juliana Ramirez.
Juliana, she was planning to go back to campus this school year. Did she go back, or what happened?
She did. So we decided, well, so here it's the summer, right? And we were planning on sending her back, and then the Delta variant. And we were certain, surely, you know, mask mandates were going to be put in effect because children are not eligible. I mean, young children are not eligible for vaccines. So surely this will be something that will be done because science, I mean, when we kept her home in the beginning, we didn't know for sure that masks in schools would protect our kids. And we weren't willing to take that chance. But now we know that it does protect them. And we were comfortable with that. But like the governor is refusing to acknowledge science. This is not about opinions. This isn't about politics. This is about science. What science says we need to do to protect our kids. And for some reason, he decided that schools can't do what they need to do to protect our children so that they can access the curriculum.
Juliana has asthma. Does wearing a mask, does it make it harder to breathe with that?
I mean, I think that it probably does, but she's able to function just fine. All three of my children have asthma, and they've never complained to me about wearing a mask. My three-year-olds, both of them, have pretty significant asthma and have never complained about wearing a mask to me.
Have they ever fainted from wearing a mask?
No, they've never fainted from wearing a mask.
Has wearing a mask triggered any extra anxiety?
No, and Juliana has, as I mentioned, pretty severe anxiety. She has panic attacks, as I mentioned, pretty regularly. And she's never had, in fact, it makes her feel much safer.
You're part of a lawsuit telling Governor Greg Abbott that he is abusing his power to prevent schools from making the decision on whether or not they should have a mask mandate to protect students, all students, but particularly students who have vulnerable health. Is that right?
Yes, and that he's discriminating against children with disabilities by preventing them from accessing education.
Your child is part of a community, and I really want to think about our communal responsibilities. So when you have adults who are saying, we don't like mask mandates, we don't like being told what to do, Do you think that they are focusing on their own individual privilege, what they call their rights and their liberty, or should they be focusing on how can we take care of those among us who need a little extra support and how we should wear a mask?
So the way that I look at it is we can all think about our own individual interests, but that's how we got to this place where we have not been able to curb this pandemic. Until we, all rights come with responsibilities, and it's our responsibility as a community to consider the needs of our neighbors, and specifically those who are more vulnerable. Even my child, when she asked me about what this lawsuit means, very clearly understood that it was important. As a person whose voice is being listened to, it was her responsibility to speak for those whose voices aren't being heard.
Now, the people who are fighting the mask mandates, they think they're doing the right thing. What do you want them to know?
This isn't about politics. This is about children's health. This is about protecting children's health and their right to access a safe and quality education. I think that's something we can all agree on, that it's our responsibility as adults in this society to protect vulnerable children.
Julia Longoria is a parent of a child represented by Disability Rights Texas in a federal lawsuit against Governor Greg Abbott for his executive order prohibiting schools, cities, and counties from mandating masks in schools. As we try to make our way in this time of COVID, there are plenty of arguments about individual rights to not wear a mask or to refuse the vaccine, but there aren't many making the argument about community rights during the public health crisis. Ethicist Laurie Zoloth says it's our duty to get a COVID-19 vaccine and wear masks.
I'm interested in this notion of personal responsibility in an epidemic, and it's a challenge, this epidemic. It's like being in a war. And when you're in a war, you don't say to every little individual soldier, okay, go out there, every man for himself, just don't get shot at. You have a plan, you have a strategy, and you figure out what's the best thing we can do as a team, as a collective, to fight this war, to fight this epidemic disease. And that means by definition, because it's a communicable disease, that we give it to one another. We rely on one another to solve this problem. We rely on one another to protect one another. And that, it's surprising to me because, yes, Americans like personal responsibility, and we like to be personally responsible. We also like to care for the vulnerable and like to care for the neighbor. And that's just as much of our tradition as personal responsibility. There's no such thing as an individual choice in an epidemic disease. That's the fundamental problem. You're not alone in this. You are tied to your neighbor. You are tied to the person who is serving you. You are tied to the person who's delivering your groceries. You're tied to everybody in your city, everybody in the community. And certainly, of course, because we live in families, we're tied to our children. We're tied to elderly people. So everyone lives in a network of responsibility. And that responsibility is not just personal. It's familial, and it's social, and it's civic.
So there's a story of about this guy. He dies. He goes to heaven, goes up there to the pearly gates. Right. St. Peter's going to give him the big tour. He opens up one door and he says, okay, this is hell. And there's a banquet there in this giant room. Beautiful, the most delicious food in the whole wide world's right there. And it's right there laid out on the banquet. And everyone has their arms are frozen. They're, you know, they can't get the food. They can't put it in their mouths. And that's hell. And then he opens the other door and says, okay, well, this is heaven. And it's the same thing. It's a banquet full of great, amazing food, and everyone still has their arms, like, you know, frozen out in front of them. And the guy says to St. Peter, and he says, you know, what's the difference? And St. Peter says, well, in heaven.
Peter says that, yeah, in heaven you can feed your neighbor, and your neighbor can feed you. So that's the difference, right?
Yeah.
That's how we make the world. That's how we make the world decent. That's how we make the world livable. How we make it fair is we take care of one another.
We depend on each other. And most especially in a pandemic, when some people just can't get the vaccination, either they have an illness that prevents it, or they have cancer, they're getting chemotherapy, they have HIV/AIDS, or they have an autoimmune disease, or their kids, and they're under the age where the vaccines have been approved. We have to protect those people. And the only way to protect the vulnerable among us is for everybody else to get vaccinated and to be careful about how we transmit this disease.
Well, what about the fact that I have chosen to live in a city? I have chosen to live in a closely compacted, complex society where I am not a hermit on an island, and we're sharing oxygen and all sorts of things, space. What responsibility did I adopt when I chose to live this way?
Well, it's not only that you live in a city, you live in a city already dependent on everybody, right? There's a lot of people that make sure I get clean water, right? I can take all the personal responsibility I want, but if a chain of people isn't working really hard to make sure I have clean water and that my air is clean, and that the streets that lead to my house are safe, then I can't take personal responsibility. It's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. I can be responsible if I'm sitting in a chair and be responsible for that, the air around me. But as soon as I act in the world, I need other people to support my choices, all of my choices. You know, how safe is the food that I buy in the supermarket? Well, I only know because there's a whole network of people, government, the state, local people, who check that and make sure that it's safe and make sure that there's no pollutants and make sure that there's not harmful chemicals in its processing, make sure that there's not, you know, harmful insects or something in it. And all of that, every single thing we do, every gesture in the world is tied to 100 other people who are also making it safe for you. So you're not alone. You're never alone. And so this notion that you're responsible for everything is a fiction. It's just not the case.
So when you say I'm taking responsibility for something, I'm taking personal responsibility because I hit the baseball and it went through the window and now I'm going to repair that window. That would be personal responsibility. If I am spreading COVID to other people, am I going to be paying their medical bills? Am I going to be making sure that they're well? Am I going to nurse them back to health? That would be personal responsibility.
Yeah, or saying, I mean, play it all the way out. Take personal responsibility for your health. Don't give the vaccine. Think you're alone. Think you're an island. But then don't show up at the hospital and expect to get care, right? Because then stay home. Stay home and deal with it yourself. People want both things. They want their cake and eat it too. They want their complete unfettered freedom. But then they want complete dependency on the state of Texas to rescue them if they get sick. So that, you know, that is problematic. When you see people flaunting mask rules, being in a crowded place with no mask, promoting no mask for children, and then they get Regeneron, you know, that not everybody else can get, like your governor, it really raises the question of how responsible is that, right? Maybe if you don't want the mask and you don't think it's going to affect you, then okay, play that out to the end of that argument. And that would be cruel. I don't advocate for it, but you can see why it's a bad argument.
Laurie Zoloth is a University of Chicago bioethicist. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You could also write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. That's where you can find past Texas Matters episodes to listen to, and you can find us wherever you download your podcast. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.